is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. The great Wes Reynolds will join us here later on this hour for our Wednesdays with Wes, talking some golf north of the border in Canada. But we've got a lot to get to. We always say that on this program, you know, you want to sell high and you want to buy low. That's the idea of a good stock market, Jensen. So what goes up must come down. Let's get to it this week's edition of Stock Up and Stock Down.
Buy low, sell high, as long as you have a reason why. Whose reputation is soaring and who's on the verge of collapse? It's Stock Up, Stock Down.
Let's start off this week. I'm going to win the coin toss, so I'm going to receive, and Jensen, it's the good old red, white, and blue. It's the United States of America. What a week this is for USA, USA, USA. We are on the world stage because we've got the FIFA World Cup that begins tomorrow. We are the host country. You're seeing it out there on social media. You got all the Europeans coming into town, and they are just blown away by the good old red, white, and blue. So it's so nice to see people coming to America and enjoying the United States of America. I know maybe some of the Brits were complaining. We don't really care. We beat you in 1776, so you're just going to have to suck it up. But for the rest of the world, it seems like they're really enjoying so far coming to the United States and getting their new perspective, whatever city it might be that you're watching the World Cup in. And then, over there at the White House? Yeah, we run everything? We're going to have the UFC Sunday night right here, an amazing seven-fight card on the South Lawn of the White House. Are you kidding me? Freedom 250. Cannot wait. We are putting soccer on display for the world stage, and we're putting fighting on display for the world stage at the most important place in America, the White House, this weekend on Sunday. This is as good as it gets for the red, white, and blue, and it will carry on past Freedom 250 this weekend. But America, this is why we're the greatest country in the world. We can put on World Cups and host those and simultaneously have an amazing fight card with fighters from all around the world at the White House on Sunday.
All right. It's in St. Louis. You hear it. It's a Redbird winner from John Rooney, who is the fabulous radio play-by-play voice of the St. Louis Cardinals. Boy, it did not look good at all last year. Not a lot of optimism headed into this season. That's why we play the games. Dave Ross. How about the St. Louis Cardinals? One of the best stories in the National League this year. As a team, they are ninth in offensive wins above replacement, according to Fangraphs. There's still a lot to be desired pitching-wise, just 22nd in that category, but it's been the resurgence of Jordan Walker, one of the highly touted prospects from years ago. It had a very rocky start to his career, and then the revelation, the youngster J.J. Weatherholt. If you are a VSiN Pro subscriber, that was my big hot take, is that for the St. Louis Cardinals this year, it would be Weatherholt who would grab hold of a starting spot and be able to be a force to be reckoned with. He has been that and then some. Dave, if you look at those two stars for St. Louis, they have respectively 2.5 wins above replacement. That's good for 20th and 21st overall amongst all major league position players as we enter play today. Well done, Redbirds. A lot more Redbird winners on the horizon the way they're playing. Stock up for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Sadly, they got a win yesterday there in Citi Field against my Metropolitans, and that does take me to a stock up. Despite the loss yesterday, some of those baby Mets that I've talked about, they only had five hits yesterday in that loss. Carson Bench had one of them at the leadoff spot. A.J. Ewing had a couple down, and it's these young Mets, and it's led by Carson Bench. I say led by Carson Bench, because he's now hitting leadoff. You remember opening day at a home run in game number one? And that was out of the nine hole. They've moved him up to the one spot out of necessity with the injury to Francisco Lindor. He's hitting about 265, and he did something that in Mets history you don't see very often. To wrap up the road trip in San Diego, he went 5 for 5. Didn't hit for the cycle because he didn't get the double, but he had a single, he had a home run, he had a triple, and a bunch of singles there. And the last Met to go 5 for 5 was some guy named Pete Alonso back in 2019. Pretty good company as a rookie this year for Carson Bench. So I know it's been a real down year for Metropolitan fans like myself. But with the guys like A.J. Ewing and Nolan McLean and some of the younger talent that they have, but it's Carson Benj at the top of the lineup. And when Francisco Lindor comes back later on this month in June, I'll be very curious to see what Carlos Mendoza does in the lineup, because I kind of like Benj at the top of the lineup. The kids will lead us. We're being led by Carson Benj, and his stock is way up.
Dave, the moniker for the Southeastern Conference is It Just Means More. And when it comes to college baseball, there is no better representation than having five of the eight teams as representatives in Omaha beginning this weekend. A couple of very intriguing stats for you. Fifth time, Dave, since 2015 that the SEC has had at least half of the field in Omaha. 15 of the 16 SEC programs have been to Omaha since 2008. 13 of the 16 have done it multiple times. And 14 of the 16 SEC teams have been to Omaha in the last five seasons. Eight of them have advanced to the College World Series finals. Death, taxes, and the SEC ruling supreme in men's college baseball. It will feel like a little mini edition of Hoover, Alabama, where they host the SEC tournament every year. Godspeed to the SEC. It just means more.
What goes up must come down. And my first choice for stock down this week, Knick fans. And I'm going to put fans in air quotes. What was that after game three outside of Madison Square Garden? You're attacking Spurs fans of all ages? It doesn't matter because they have on Spurs jerseys. Do you know there were more arrests outside of Madison Square Garden, 21, than Knicks points in the fourth quarter, 20? That is not a good stat, New York City. And I know that the guys like Michael Rappaport out there, Mr. New York, he's tweeting, these are not Knicks fans. You're going to have to own this one, pal. All right, I'm sorry. Because we're going to paint you with a broad brush here. When it's happening outside of Madison Square Garden, and there were clearly some of those videos that were Knicks fans that were demanding these guys take off their shirts because they're wearing Spurs jerseys, and then they're literally ripping them out. They're assaulting San Antonio Spurs fans there just for wearing jerseys. We've got to be better. We kid about this stuff all the time in the city of brotherly shove. That's why I call it that. And Philly fans are looking at New York fans and going, what are you doing? This is not acceptable societal sports behavior, period. You need more rest. You got to feel safe. You want to talk smack? That's fine. That's good fandom. What happened outside Madison Square Garden in game three can never happen again starting tonight in game four. Be better, America. Be better, New York City. Yes, this is on you now, and the spotlight will be on you tonight. Act accordingly after the game, please and thank you.
Ticket prices we've seen for, speaking of that NBA Finals game three in Madison Square Garden, astronomically high, pricing, you know, the common man out of being able to get into the world's most famous arena. You want to price an entire world population out of seeing a sporting event? I present you the World Cup ticket prices. Dave, we are looking at nearly 180,000 tickets still up for grabs just days before we get this big tournament underway. Let me give you a couple examples. Seeing reports that some of the seats for the World Cup final were reportedly listed in the neighborhood of $33,000. That's 24,600 pounds for those of you paying with those bills. You're looking at the United States opener against Paraguay on Friday, still 4,400 seats available through official ticketing sites. Despite really reducing some of the prices, there are still an average of $800 above average on ticket prices alone. That is ridiculous. No one needs that. And I don't know if they're going to be able to get those full stadiums like they thought they would.
I'll keep this short and sweet. There's a reason why I drive this country, and I've driven almost from coast to coast here, because flying is a nightmare. And we are on the world stage this week with the World Cup, and I mentioned Freedom 250. And I was just going back and forth between Vegas here in Tennessee, and almost didn't make a couple flights because of various issues that we're having in the industry right now. And then I heard something I've never heard before, Jensen, as we were sitting on the tarmac in Dallas. This woman with two kids, screaming kids, we're sitting there in this heated, non-air-conditioned plane, and the stewardess comes over and says, oh, we normally don't do this, but we'll give you water. Why the precursor? Be nice, people. If we're being stuck, the last thing you can do is you don't have to put out the precursor, oh, I normally don't do this. Give water to your kids. Let's be nicer, America, and fix the airline travel because all these Europeans are coming here this week. Let's put our best foot forward.
All right, for all the highway patrol women, men and women out there, I usually am 5 miles an hour above the speed limit when I'm going state to state. The people that tailgate me in the speed lane, you people are asking for trouble. If the other lane is open, feel free to pass me. I'm already speeding in the speed lane, okay? I'm not going under the speed limit. I'm not going the speed limit. I'm going over it. I'm already risking a hefty fine, depending on what state you're in, with going over the speed limit. Use your blinker, get around me, and when you go around me, do not mean mug me. When you look at me, well, this person in the speed, I'm speeding in the speed lane. What is wrong with you people? Go around like you can with the steering wheel in front of you, use your blinker, and get the hell out of my way.
If you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network, I love the picture we showed for your rant, Jensen. It's a German Volkswagen with German plates. The Autobahn. People speed. What perfect symmetry that is. Everybody, keep your speed down. By the way, I did get a ticket here in Kentucky. I was speeding the other day. That's on me. When we come back, Freedom 250. We'll break it down next right here. It's Veasan by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books, and again, the early bird special is upon us right now, and this special is going to cover you all the way through the Super Bowl of next year. So when you sign up today, it's just $175. This will end soon, so you need to get on this deal while you have the opportunity. That means continuing coverage of the ongoing NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Final. World Cup begins tomorrow. Major League Baseball all summer long. You know Jensen and I are excited about that each and every day. You're going to get our daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and June 22nd. Going to release our NFL betting guide. It'll attack futures, win totals, divisional races, and the full season ahead. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Jensen's going to have a conversation with the great Wes Reynolds. Wednesdays with Wes. A little bit later on, we'll talk about some Canada golf and their National Open. But we have a lot going on right here in the good old United States of America. We got World Cup tomorrow. We got Freedom 250. That's where we begin today's edition of the Daily Docket.
Your snapshot of odds, trends, and futures. This is the Daily Docket.
Okay, so every day we're breaking down one fight in the main card. I had a great conversation with Reed Kuhn. Please like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast and listen to that conversation on your time as well. I always love it when they align, and I gave out Ciryl Gane earlier in the week. It's a fight I monitored early weeks ago and played that at -$1.10. Again, rooting for Alex Pereira in the story. The money is on the Brazilian. Yesterday, we talked about the Sugar Show against Eamon Zahabi, and I do think Sean O'Malley should be a big favorite as he is. I heard that the Sugar Show said, I need a vintage Sugar Show performance. I'm going to look to knock him out. I don't know if he's going to knock out Eamon Zahabi. It's going to be part of a parlay piece. And I do like the over in that fight, 2.5. It's lined at -$2. So in a parlay piece. Okay, hear me out. Michael Chandler at the White House. And we know Michael Chandler like waited forever for the Conor McGregor fight. And that never happened, right? And waited and waited and waited. And now you're going to go up against Mauricio Hoofy, and Hoofy's a $7 betting favorite against Michael Chandler. And I get it. He should be the favorite. He should be a big favorite. I think this is way too big a favorite. And I'll tell you why. Because the way that you can beat a guy like Mauricio Hoofy is by pressuring him. What does Michael Chandler have? He's small in stature, very stocky. He's got to get inside that jab of Mauricio Hoofy. He's got to make this ugly. He's got to make this grimy. He's got to clinch fight. And what I mean by that is get inside and force Hoofy into the corner. I don't know if you can take him down. Chandler should. He's a decorated wrestler who never wrestles anymore. We saw Bellator, now UFC. Some of these guys, they forget the traits that got them to where they are. Now, I don't know that we're going to see that. And as Reed Kuhn pointed out, this does feel like striker's paradises. This is what they want. Michael, do you want to win? Or do you want to get knocked out? If you want to get knocked out, stand in front of Mauricio Hoofy and he'll do that. And the fighting nerds will chalk up another victory and you'll might be your better days behind you in the UFC. I don't think Michael Chandler is that stupid. I don't think he's just going to stand there and let the tall Brazilian, who's got a massive reach advantage, utilize that 1-2 and snipe him from the outside. And if he chooses to do that, bye-bye Michael Chandler, there's no value in him. He's not going to do that. He's going to get inside. He's going to make it ugly. Dare I say, look for a takedown. And if he does that all of a sudden at almost 5-1, I think Michael Chandler could be very live. I am looking for Michael Chandler to put back in the performances that we used to look at and why we got so excited when he came to the promotion in the first place as a champ in waiting. Every great fighter has one more great fight left in them. I think you're going to get it at the White House. And something tells me, parlay buster, I'm not putting Mauricio Hoofy in mine. Yes, he should be, to me, about a $4 betting favorite, not a $7 betting favorite. I'm going to take a shot on the longest long shot on the board at almost 5-1, Michael Chandler, make it grimy, make it gritty, show that American determination at the White House, and make it ugly for the Brazilian, and all of a sudden it could be very pretty for you at the end of the night at the White House in front of the President of the United States. That is my official play. Michael Chandler, the longest long shot on the board, I'm going to play him at plus 495. Now, Jensen, I know you've got some World Cup picks that you're going to give and adding to your card as the week goes on. But because it's the World Cup and because it's Freedom 250, and we are kind of feeling ourselves as the host country, right? This is such an interesting conversation that I heard Daniel Cormier, Olympic decorated gold medalist, USA, 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 talking with one of England's current best fighters in Paddy the Batty, Paddy Pimblett. And they were talking, ironically, Jensen, about the World Cup. Here's Daniel Cormier's take on how the U.S., I don't know if we've taken over hockey, but could we one day take over Europe's favorite pastime as well? Let's hear from D.C.
We would have a better league than the English Premier League because we have the better athletes.
What did he say?
If that was the number one sport in America, I'm saying, listen. I'm saying if we did, if our guys did not aspire to be NBA and NFL players, and they only wanted, it's literally the fifth sport in America.
It's a fifth option.
I think that the league, the MLS, would be the superior league to the EPL if Americans really aspired to be soccer players.
Never.
You're crazy, Pat.
Okay, so you saw it got a little bit contested there. Well, Patty just didn't want to hear that, never, that the MLS could be better than the EPL. But Cormier's point is that if Americans weren't so enamored as we are with baseball, with football, and with basketball, and we put our best athletes like they do to American soccer, does Daniel Cormier have a point, or do you think he's just poking Patty the Batty?
Yeah, good sparring, good verbal sparring there. again, it is the world sport. To that end, though, I really appreciated it. If you guys didn't hear, those of us or those of you listening and watching, wherever you may be, Brian Dunseth was on with us earlier this week and had a fabulous breakdown of the futures board as far as contenders to win the World Cup. I did tail some of his recommendations. And here's how I've allocated it thus far. I have added some other things here this morning and will do so probably into this evening to finish out my futures card, at least pre-flop before the first match gets underway tomorrow. I loved Portugal before we talked with Brian. I am in love even more with how he says they could be extremely dangerous. Again, thinking about where they are as one of the most talented groups on the pitch, Bernardo, Bruno Fernandes, a couple of the big boys. We know Ronaldo, this could be the final act for him in a World Cup stage. I think this should be not only a comfortable group win for them in Group K, but they have a very realistic path to the quarterfinals, a semifinal run perhaps. I think the motivation is there. Just again, as I said, underlining the fact this might be it, the last dance for Ronaldo. A lot of great depth in their team. So I think that's a force to be reckoned with. He mentioned two longer shots. And so I thought, just for a monetization opportunity, Morocco at 60-1 and Uruguay at a little over 82-1. Let me start with Morocco. Again, when you look at 2022, Dave, they were a semifinalist. Here are the teams that they beat that year: Belgium, Spain, and the aforementioned Portugal in the knockout round. They're very tight. They are very elite as far as their organization. One of the better teams internationally for set pieces. They have a good defensive structure, and there's a lot of experience that is coming back from that 2022 team. Now, they are in Group C. They are there with Brazil, who I think a lot of people are going to look at to win that group. But not only should Morocco be fighting for second, but I think they have a puncher's chance to maybe even win this round. All that being said, if I can get a 60-1 future, not only into the knockout round, but if they could be one of the final 16, I could start to monetize that future and then some. So that is a play more so to try and get them in and win at least one of their knockout round matchups. The other one is Uruguay, and I found this on Novig a little bit north of 82-1. Now, they are in Group H that has Spain, who is the short shot to win this thing. I don't think that they've got a chance to win the group, but this is more lottery ticket, speculative ad to yet again be in that same rationale of if they do make the knockout round of 32 and they win to get into the final 16, then again, another monetization opportunity against whoever, I'm probably playing on whoever they would match up with in that spot. I think I'm going to get there on Germany at 14-1. I really feel that that's a group that is probably going under the radar. But again, to kind of bring this full circle, Dave, if you're going to get in our VSiN contest for $1 million, you're starting to look at who are the four teams that I would want to use to get through that may not be those quarterfinal teams or even those semifinal teams. I got to tell you, I think Morocco and Uruguay are two really, really solid profiles there. That's two of your four. United States, I think, which should be able to get through. That's three. And then find another team you like who you don't think would advance beyond the final 16. I think you could be home free after that.
$1 million on the line, and those contest entries are due by 3 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. So again, Splash Sports, our friends, make sure you sign up that and use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. Our best bets and our Wednesdays with Wes Reynolds are coming up next, talking some golf and beyond on VSIN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books. Going to have Wes Reynolds join us next to talk all things RBC Canadian Open and beyond. We are getting some fun responses here to a couple of inquiries that we had. One of them from our buddy Richard Robinson, who heard the segment and heard the comments of Daniel Cormier to Paddy Pimblett. Would we, as the United States, take over and rule soccer if our athletes in the United States wanted to play soccer, not the other sports? It was simply titled, "If LeBron Played Soccer," and then he went on with, "Or Steph Curry or Nathan MacKinnon, we would kill the Euros." I'm 100% with DC on this one. Sorry, Paddy Pimblett. I tend to agree and understand where Daniel Cormier is coming from. Jensen, did you play soccer as a kid and then grow out of it into baseball?
Yeah, I was a stopper and sweeper because I had a big right leg, still do for those scoring at home. And I think what was great about it is it was fabulous cross training for baseball. And, you know, just one where the stamina, was a starting pitcher, so the stamina was great. And the leg strength really helped me maintain velocity as a youngster. But It was one of my favorite times. I just love. We had a young teammate, Randy, who was an absolute burner. I think age 12, 13. And so all we do is if it was deep in our own end, I'd just get it and I would just launch it to midfield and he'd get it, dribble it all the way down one-on-one to the keeper and he'd be scoring all the goals. So very Erling Haaland of him back in the day, who I did play to win the Golden Boot for the top goal scorer there, a little north of 15-1. I think Jonathan Von Tobel's on him as well, but anxious to see how this all plays out. Just again, shout out to all the Europeans coming over and experiencing America for the first time. If you are north of the border, though, Dave, a couple of golf bets to get in here before we get to the World Cup in earnest. I did follow you on a couple of guys here, just a couple of outrights for me this week. Sam Burns at 14-1, also played him a top five market, including ties on DraftKings at plus 265. Just, I think the course set up in the recent form, it just feels really good. I was right in contention here in the Memorial, didn't get it across the line on round four, but I did like him. Did take a couple of euros here. Justin Rose at 30-1, really loved him. Opportunity also at top 10, including ties at plus 235. And then your boy Brooksy, top 20 finish at plus money. It feels like you're giving away money at that point, the way he's played, plus $1.25 on DraftKings. And then Tommy, by order of the Peaky Blinders, Tommy Fleetwood, plus $1.22 for a top 10 finish. Didn't get there outright this week, but I did take a little advice on your Wyndham Clark play, plus $4.45 for a top five finish. May not win it, but feel like he'll be in contention. What do you have?
Third place at Jack's Place last week at the Memorial, won just a couple weeks ago at the CJ Cup. Look, I'm not saying that I'm rooting for Wyndham Clark, and I'm not rooting against him either. He's got his own demons he's got to fight and hopefully get back in the good graces after winning a U.S. Open. This is one of the most talented players in the world. There's no doubt about that. He's one of the guys I'm keeping my eye on this week north of the border is Wyndham Clark, because they normally come in pockets, and I think he's in the middle of one of those windows and or pockets right now after winning and then a top three finish last week at the Memorial. Sam Burns, good course history, certainly when it comes to at least this tournament history. It's moved all over Canada. They're going to be in Toronto this week. But Sam Burns is playing better golf these days, too. Played good golf last week at the Memorial as well. And again, when Sam Burns is right, we might be arguably talking about what, Jensen, top three putter in the world. So, you know, you always have to, if the ball striking matches up this week, you know, normally the putter is going to cooperate for a guy like Sam Burns. I expect him to be right around there. Those guys will be in placement markets. And by the way, your Brooks Koepka pick for top 20 at plus money, that might end up looking like stealing at the end of the week, because Brooksy has his eyes on Shinnecock. And by the way, shout out to the Long Shots crew with Wes Reynolds, who we'll have on next. Of course, Kelly Bidwin, Matt Brown. They'll be breaking down Shinnecock next week here for the United States Open. I wonder how much talk they'll have about Brooks Koepka. This is a guy that wants to be playing more golf, which is bizarre. And when you get a guy that like Brooks Koepka that wants to be out there at the RBC Canadian Open this week, I think top 20 at plus money makes a whole lot of sense for a guy that's grinding to get back to that form. And it doesn't feel like he's that far away. So a couple of Americans to keep an eye on, and I'll add a third there in Brooks Koepka as well. Okay, we've got a big one tonight in the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. We're seeing the Knicks about 2.5, that total sitting about 216, 216.5. You kind of lean towards the under in this game. 216 is what you're seeing on your screen right now on FanDuel Sports Network. And it's come down off that hook down to 2 for the Knicks. Would you rather attack the side than the total if we like the Knicks laying 2 tonight?
Indeed. I'm going to take the Knicks, just lock them in on Novig minus $1.18. I think that's the cheapest price I can find out there. Again, I am all about the bounce back narrative. I think they're much more buttoned up in quarter number one. I don't think they're going to be over anxious and have the too much adrenaline from the home crowd, so on and so forth. David, does look like more of the common folk can get in with the get-in price down from $10,000 to $5,000. So again, it's just a month's rent there that you can bypass for 2.5 hours to get into Madison Square Garden. Still laughable that people pay that to go watch. I would say that the total feels like an under to me. I do think that we're not going to get the parade to the free throw line in the fourth quarter like we did for the Spurs in game three. That being said, Jalen Brunson's going to have to play the whole game. I would hope that he manages the fouls a little bit better. I think that was just kind of your debilitating part for the Knicks in that final stanza. So Knicks money line, an official play. Going to wait to see on the total here, but I would lean to the under 216, 216 and a half.
I'm looking down the prop board here, that the menu that's available at DraftKings. And sometimes what I like to do, and obviously, you know, when I got the big 25-1 ticket the other day, it was overs on Wemby and Jalen Brunson. I took those down at 25 points, not 30. And right now I'm seeing Brunson at 30. Now it is plus money at plus $1.18 if you're looking at his player prop tonight. Wemby is down to 28 or more to get at minus $1.06 is what we're seeing here. Out of the two big guns, if you're looking at under, would you stay away from those over props here, thinking, hey, you get a suppressed score, which you're looking at, you might look towards unders here in the player props in a game script if that's what you see tonight.
Opta AI giving Miles McBride a lot of love here for tonight. Top two props for the projections. Miles McBride, points, assists, six or more at minus $1.13, projecting him of almost 9.5. His points, rebound, assists at seven or more is minus $1.23 on DraftKings. Opta AI projecting him for nearly 11. Those are the two best ones, over a 36% edge, according to Opta AI. That's where I would look tonight. No feel on the finals MVP at this point. If you think the Knicks win it, then I would just roll the money lines here. I think that they're going to try and do everything they can, not only to win tonight, then be able to end this thing. Albeit, do you buy the narrative, Dave, that if they win tonight, San Antonio finds every way to force it to game six, and then the Knicks will win it on home court, maybe the most expensive basketball, heck, championship ticket of the modern era for a closeout scenario if we get to that point?
It would feel like 1994 all over again when the Rangers won it in the Garden and Mark Messier hoisting Ward Stanley's Cup. That's an indelible moment in New York sports history. This would probably rival that. That's exactly what it would feel like if that game six scenario were to happen that way. There would be a ton of pressure on them, obviously, to get that done. And I mean, could you imagine what that would feel like if that's exactly what we get? By the way, one of the player prop, and I don't have it in pocket yet, but I'm looking at it, and I too like to live dangerously. What about Mitchell Robinson? Four or more points, you're only weighing $1.09. The reason why I bring that up is a couple. One, dirty stuff around the rim, and sometimes I love to do a little pick and roll and just lob it up to him. You normally get you a dunk a game, it feels like, or at least a layup. And they're going to do Hakimich. They're going to do it again. If he's in there in the final 2 minutes of any quarter, we know the strategy of the Spurs and everybody else, really. It's to hack him. And, boy, you get a split. Dare I say you get a pair. Jensen, you're going to get the four on Mitchell Robinson. I think that's something I'm going to add to the portfolio here. Right now I'm seeing a DraftKings at minus $1.09. And Jordan Clarkson, who had 10 points in the last outing, he is also sitting at four. So not just one bucket. You know he's going to shoot a three. He's going to at least hoist up a couple threes there. You can get that at $1.04. So if you're looking for bench play for Knicks, a little bit off the beaten path, those might be two names, because I think Clarkson will get more run. His plus minus was very good in the last game. Like Landry Shamet's number, it might be a little bit high for my blood. It's at eight or more points at minus $1.17. I might look down the board a little bit. Mitchell Robinson at four or more, and maybe Jordan Clarkson at four or more at suppressed numbers. That might be the way I attack this tonight. But again, when it comes to MVP, and I don't have any tickets on this, but I did say here on the program, 22-1 is the way I would have played it on Carl Anthony Towns, because I don't like the narratives. But Jensen, it does feel like the narrative is that if Cat plays well and slows down Wemby, that's actually more of a key to winning a title than it is Jalen Brunson getting you 30 a night.
All right, brother. Listen, our future's still alive. We're in great territory. We are in pole position. I am ready to get that in. A Knicks championship pays my half of the Circa Millions buy-in. So that's what we're rooting for. Ooh. To be on house money for this year in 2026.
That would be lovely. Let's get that done. New York. Go New York. Go New York. Go. And remember, fans, please act accordingly after the game, win, lose, or draw. He always acts accordingly. Wes Reynolds. Wednesdays with Wes talking Canada golf next right here. VSiN by the books.
VSiN by the books, right here on VSiN.
We We continue VSiN, Bob Brooks, Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis. Our Wednesdays with Wes, the great Wes Reynolds. Give him a follow on X at Wes Reynolds and the number one. Does a great job on long shots and beyond here on the network. Listen to that podcast whenever you get a chance. They broke down the RBC Canadian Open next week at Shinnecock at the U.S. Open. And Wes is kind enough to join us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Wes, it was great to see you back home in Vegas last week. Get to break some bread again, my friend. And look, you know I'm always going to pick your brain about golf, because I think you're one of the smartest guys out there in any space. When you go north of the border to Canada this week, it is their national championship. I know maybe stateside we don't give it the same gravitas because we're all looking ahead to Shinnecock next week. But for the Canadians, and we saw what it meant when Nick Taylor won this thing a couple weeks ago, do they feel the pressure of playing in Toronto in their national championship?
Yeah, I think they absolutely do, Dave, because you mentioned Nick Taylor in 2023 there at Oakdale. And you can guess who I had, by the way, that year. It was Tommy Fleetwood, who lost in that playoff when Nick Taylor made that 72-foot bomb. And Adam Hadwin went out there to celebrate and got tackled by the overzealous security. So you hadn't had a Canadian, by the way, win this since 1954 when Nick Taylor did it in 2023. So you're right about the pressure. So the contingent you have this week, you have Nick Taylor, of course, Corey Connors, Taylor Pendrith, Mackenzie Hughes, Sudeshan, Yella Miraju, Adam Hadwin, several other Canadian players here. So it is kind of a big deal, like what you see on the DP World Tour when, you know, the Spaniards want to win their home open in Spain, or the French players want to win in the Open de France. So there is a little bit of that pressure, I think, on these guys.
Very good. Wes, as always, when you get to the top of your card and start to filter down, knowing where this course history is and the sandwich point between Jack's Place of the Memorial and knowing you have Shinnecock Hills on the horizon here next week for the U.S. Open, does that alter anything as far as the guys you want to pick? Dave and I have talked a lot about it. We do with you. Motivation, or, you know, expending yourself too much knowing a major is the very next week. How did that help you filter where you wanted to be at the top of your card?
You know, a little bit of a factor, I guess, Jensen, because in recent years we've had longer shots win this thing, but we've also had Rory McIlroy win the week before the U.S. Open. Rory, by the way, not in the field this week at TPC Toronto. So I did go a little bit mid-range in terms of my targets, because you don't really, I think, even though you have a very solid field and you have four top 10 players in the official world golf rankings that are teeing it up this week, you really don't have that, like, okay, that's the guy, like you usually have when Rory plays this or one of the elite guys. So those guys kind of in the teens, the Matt Fitzpatricks and the Tommy Fleetwoods. I actually did consider Sam Burns, who I also had here last year when Ryan Fox beat him in the playoff. But I considered those guys, but I went a little bit down into the 30s because a couple of the guys ahead of him, coming off withdrawing from the Memorial, Morikawa on baby watch, Victor Hovland battling the back issues. So I went a little bit below that first tier this week to start.
Let's get there to some of those middling shots that you like. And by the way, I mentioned this with Jensen in the last segment. With Brooks back now on the PGA Tour, and it seems like he wants to be out there. He wants to play before the U.S. Open next week. A motivated Brooks Koepka. Does that somebody pique your interest at 30-1 this week?
Yeah, I did start with Brooks this week, who is kind of semi-full-time, I guess, back on the PGA Tour because he didn't have any FedEx Cup points not being on the tour last year, so he doesn't get in those signature events. So trying to take advantage of the limited starts that he gets. Been playing very consistent golf of late, six top 20s in his last eight events. Putting's obviously an issue. He's 136th out of 161 qualified players on the PGA Tour. But the tee to green and the ball striking is like top five in the game right now. So I think that there's a week that's going to over, you know, kind of carry over the putting. And maybe he could have a spike putting week. And by the way, Shinnecock Hills, where the U.S. Open is next week in Southampton, New York. Last time I was there, Brooks Koepka was the winner of that event at one over par. So, you know, good frame of mind coming in. So I do like Brooks a lot this week.
All right. We also look at some of the Euros here. And I know, obviously, the Brothers Højgaard, always an intriguing group here in picking the right one. I know we joke about that. And then the Brothers Fitzpatrick. So we get two brotherly loves here. One that might be readily recognizable for people, but maybe not on the Fitzpatrick side. Wes, how did you get to both those selections?
Yeah, I'll start out with Nikolai. He's kind of been a little bit erratic over the last 3 months. He started out like a house of fire in 2026 and then, you know, missed a couple cuts, battled a couple minor injuries. But in this time frame, even when he struggled, he was runner-up in Houston. He was also a runner-up at the Truist over the last 11 weeks. Third in distance, fifth in tee to green, eighth in approach in this field. I think that this is an ideal course for him. And a lot of us, including myself, maybe be falling down this rabbit hole this week. I think when we saw this number on Alex Fitzpatrick, that it was over 40-1 to start the week. And he's already got a PGA Tour victory, won the Zurich with Matt, but he's getting close with that solo victory. I just thought this price was too high, and I'm going to keep believing in him when he goes fourth at the Truist, ninth at the Cadillac, sixth at the Memorial last week, just over the last 7 weeks. Six top 10 finishes, by the way, in his last seven worldwide starts. That does include a solo victory at the Hero Indian Open over on the DP World Tour. Fifth in this field over the last 24 rounds, strokes gained tee to green. So I thought that this number was way too big, and clearly a lot of people in the market did as well.
You know, Wes, when I look down the board a little bit too, and I see guys that were trying to qualify for the United States Open here next week at Shinnecock, and some names that didn't that are in this field. And I'm looking at, say, guys like Tony Finau. I'm looking at guys like Max Homa that will not be in the field next week. Can they exhale? Because, look, the winner of this tournament does not get into next. It's done. The field is set for the U.S. Open. You either qualified or you didn't. Can they now exhale a little bit, Wes, and go, man, I gave him my best shot? Or are they coming into this thing deflated? Like, how do you look at those guys that maybe missed out in the U.S. Open but are playing this week at the Canadian Open?
Yeah, it's based on the individual, I think, Dave. And you did mention Finau, who I did give a play at 70-1 just because I think he's hitting the ball off the tee really well right now. Third at the CJ Cup, Byron Nelson in Dallas. Second at the Memorial for strokes he ain't off the tee. He's got some pretty good history here in this event. Second in St. George a couple of years ago, which Rory won. And St. George, by the way, same designer and same renovator as you get here at TPC Toronto at Osprey Valley. So a lot of similarities. That designer was named Ian Andrew, who's a Canadian-based designer who redid that. So there's a little bit of correlation, I think, on that course. And he's got good history. Fifth also at Glen Abbey. So Tony Finau is a guy that I think could play well. Michael Chorbornson as well missed out at one of the sites, I think, by one or two shots making the U.S. Open. But young gun that's kind of, you know, putting it all together, I think getting close to that first PGA Tour victory. And he's very good in the lower scoring birdie fest, which I think that this is probably going to be. Last year it was 18 under par. Could be that again, depending on how heavy the wind is early in the week. But, you know, Thjorbjørnsen, runner up at the John Deere, top four at the Rocket Classic in Detroit, which I think has a lot of correlation with this event. So, another guy that I think is going to play well, these fairways, excuse me, by the way, very, very wide, almost 40 yards wide on average. So you can kind of grip it and rip it and not get in all that much trouble here.
Your last name on your card, Max Grazerman, I know maybe not readily recognizable here for many of the common golf fan, but interesting course matchup here and an elevated number. I know you talk about it. Some of the longer shots are ideal in this format. Why Max Grazerman for you to round out your outrights this week?
Yeah, Jensen, Greg Grazerman is actually on the opposite end of the spectrum because he did qualify in Monday final qualifying for the U.S. Open, went there to Purchase, New York near Westchester, where there weren't as many pros like there were in the Ohio side or in the Ontario site, and took advantage of that. Five runner-up finishes, by the way, on the PGA Tour in less than two calendar years, from the summer of 2024 to today, going for that first tour victory at the Byron Nelson a couple starts ago, first in ball striking, first in approach, second in greens in regulation. Talented guy, just kind of battles with his putter a little bit, but this is a guy that's been near the mark, kind of like Ryan Gerard last week at the Memorial, who got beaten in the playoff, of course, by the postman, JT Poston. But Grazerman, yeah, I thought that this was a little bit of a big number. We saw a big number, by the way, here win here last year. Ryan Fox, 80-1 over Sam Burns in that playoff. So kind of a more wide open field, even though you got some class and quality at the top. And I think that you're going to get a couple of these guys that maybe are a little bit off the radar that are going to be on that first page, I think, come Sunday.
30 seconds to go. One of those names, because I can never get anything past you, is Benjamin James making his PGA Tour debut this week. 140-1 is a long shot. This kid feels like a prodigy, Wes. What do you think about him, and what are you looking for in his first tournament ever on the PGA Tour?
Yeah, probably to make the cut, because we see these guys like every year. You know, another guy that's going to be mentioned, of course, Jackson Quaven out of Auburn. Yes. Like, he's going to probably win at some point later this summer. But these kids are good right away, and they're not afraid to compete with the big guns.
Wes, appreciate your knowledge as always. If you want more VSiN right now, VSiN.com, VSiN Watch app. We've got a numbers game. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidwin, they're coming up next.